This is a reading from the 24th chapter of Luke. If you're reading along in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 964. This is after the resurrection of Jesus. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them said, whose name was Cleopatras, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some of the women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, there they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he was going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of the Lord.
Thanks, Therese. Our sermon this morning is "On the Road to Find Out," Great Cat Stevens song. So we jump back a few weeks to Easter Sunday again. That's when this took place. And two of the faithful who apparently decided, well, there's nothing left for us here in Jerusalem, we might as well go home. And they were walking home on the road to Emmaus. Cleopas and a player to be named later, we don't know who the other one was. But the two of them were walking along and talking, as you just heard, when they were approached by Jesus incognito. Walking along the road. And a few things happen here. First of all, I'd like you to put yourself in their place, if you would, and realize how deep was their hurt and disappointment. They were grieving at this point, the loss of their rabbi. And beyond that, a loss, as they perceived it, of their dreams, of a different world, of a different place, a place set in order as they had conceived it. They had thought they had lost this with the death of Jesus. And so walking along, when a stranger approaches them, for some people it's natural to spill the beans about what's on their mind. For others of us, we tend to zip up our lips when we're hurting and in pain. Well, thank God that these people did not do that. And add to that the fact that this Jesus was crucified as a criminal. And remember, back in Jerusalem, they were hiding away for fear that they would be next. And yet these two individuals, when this stranger approaches them, speak openly about the fact that they were followers of this Jesus, which is quite brave. And in their grief, they spill the beans. they say all about this man, this rabbi, this Messiah, or so they hoped. And Jesus, being Jesus, opens their perception, opens the world to them, goes right back from the beginning with Moses and goes through all of the Hebrew scripture to explain why things happen the way they happen, and is no doubt a great comfort to them. And then comes this moment that always haunts me. When they reach their house, and Jesus makes like he's going to go on. And there's a moment there where they could have just gone inside and never known that they'd been talking to their rabbi. They could have just gone in and closed the door. And in their grief, who could have blamed them? Who would have felt like entertaining on a day like that? But they felt the obligation of hospitality and a certain interest, and they invited this stranger in. They invited the stranger in, and it was in the breaking of the bread, like we're going to do in just a little while, that their eyes were open and they realized they weren't entertaining a stranger, they were entertaining Christ himself. And after he has evaporated into thin air, I can imagine them looking around at the four walls and thinking this home they were going to wasn't where they wanted to be anymore. Where they wanted to be was back with all the other faithful, back in Jerusalem, 6 or 7 miles down the road as it's getting dark, back with the other people who believe. And so right at that moment, they go back. And we're not talking about 5 and 20 here. We're not talking about streetlights. They walk back through the dark to get back to the others, to get back with them. If they hadn't been on the road, and if on the road they hadn't been talking about what was on their hearts, and if on the road, talking about what was on their hearts, they hadn't been open with a stranger who approached, and if they, after being open with the stranger that had approached, they hadn't opened their ears and their minds to listen to what he had to say, and if after they listened to what he had to say, they hadn't invited him inside, there's this whole series of steps along the road to Emmaus that they follow almost unconsciously that leads to the most important news they're ever going to hear and them running back to fellowship again. This is why the road to Emmaus is seen as the walk of the Christian with God. It is actually used, promoted in some of our denominations as a way to become more Christian, to learn the faith, the Emmaus road. And so much of what we do in life, we don't even think about. And when we don't think about it, how often do we miss it? How often do we miss an opportunity to gain deeper wisdom? How often do we miss an opportunity to see Christ in some stranger or even someone we know very well? How often do we fail to invite into our home somebody that will turn everything around for us? Well, we walk by faith, not by sight, they say, and sometimes by blind faith. During my vacation, I told you all I was going to ride my bike as much as possible, and I did. I rode all over the place, still getting ready for that century ride if anyone wants to join me. Got one taker so far. And most of you know, we moved my mom and dad out of Baptist Hill and over to Victor on January 1st of this year. And so I was riding along, and one of my favorite rides has always been Oakmont Road because I'm a masochist. And I'm riding along, and I started to go on that road. And I didn't. It wasn't that I couldn't. But I know up that road is a house that's empty. And it's for sale. I can give you the realtor's name if you want. There's this house up there that I spent a good many years in, and my folks spent over 30 in. And all the stuff is out of it. And as I started to turn on that road that I've ridden on since I was 14, 15 years old, I realized that that road held nothing special for me anymore. And that was a little bit sad, actually. And that started me thinking about this whole concept of home. And what is home? Well, the next time I rode my bike, I rode it to Victor, to my parents' new place. And I went in, and they offered me food. And surrounding them were the pictures of their entire life. And they had their cats, who are a little spoiled. I spoiled them a little more. And I was home. Sitting in this church today are people who have said goodbye to their mothers. And what a tough thing that is, I'm sure. I'm very lucky that I've only had to say goodbye to one of my mothers so far, and that's Teresa's mom. And my other mom is still with us. Hi, Mom. Good to see you. And it got me thinking, I don't want to make my mom cry on Mother's Day. I really don't. Ah, darn it, I've already done it. But think of that road to Emmaus. And those of you who've already said goodbye, think about what you would say right now if you could. And you can. Really, you can. Someone very wise told us when Teresa's mom passed that the strongest connection in all of humanity is the connection between mother and child, because it begins in mystery inside the womb, where only that woman knows that secret, and she nurtures and grows that child. And then, with, I'm told, great suffering, brings that child into the world. Now, not every mom is a successful mom. Not every mom should be a mom. But every child is a blessing from God. And that connection that started in mystery, the beginning of life, this person told us, is so powerful that it can never be broken. Nothing can break that connection. And I think God would tell us that that is the same connection that our God has with us, the connection of mother to child. God who formed us, knit us in the womb. And so it is, those of you who are hurting today or a little sad or melancholy because your mom has already moved on, go ahead and talk to her if you'd like. And go ahead and listen to her, if you'd like. Don, I bet you hear your mother every day. I hear your mother quite often, too, actually. And normally I listen to what she has to say. One of our mothers who was lost this past year had a memorial contribution made in her name last week. I saw that and smiled because she was a mother to me, too. And I wish I had thought of it first. For those of you who still have your mom, I want you to think about the fact that you are on the road to find out. You're walking along this road that is life. And along that way, you have moments, these pinprick moments, where you can either do or don't. You can either will or won't. You can either express yourself or hold it in. You can be tender, or you can fail to be tender. And I would suggest to you that if you really want to encounter Christ, The very best way is to speak to those who are on the road with you in all honesty, in all the love you have to muster. I would suggest that the very best thing you could do is also to open your ears and your heart to listen to what is said back to you and invite them into your home. Now that goes for mothers because it's a special day today, but it goes for all strangers. It goes for everyone on the road. The people, Cleopas and his friend, as soon as they knew that Christ was alive, as soon as they had this exciting news again, they looked around at those four walls, or maybe three, I don't know. They looked around at the walls and they thought, this is not where we need to be. Right now our home is with our other believers. Right now we need to get back to them and share with them all the love and the good news. So much of what we are and who we are and what our mothers taught us to be is good people who share, right? Share, share, that's fair. And so on our road to Emmaus, shall we mindfully open our hearts and share what we have inside? Shall we build our homes not out of straw or sticks or even bricks, but out of openness in our relationships with each other and the grateful expression of love while we still have them to love? May this Mother's Day be a day when you let God mother you. May it be a day where you can look across at everyone else and see a brother and a sister. May it be a day where you can make your mom proud. And at the end of the day, may God put your new picture, your new craft, your report card up on that giant holy refrigerator. Wipe your face clean with her apron and welcome you home. Amen.